I don't know why there's Kleenexes here, but in case
I was
going to
say, are you going to start crying?
I may
be.
Like,
is this going to be like
gonna make
Oprah?
You cry.
Is this going to be Oprah?
You get a car. You get a car.
You get a thank you note. You get a thank you note.
You're listening to 834's award-winning podcast, The Happy Hour Hustle. We offer listeners the chance to experience the musings or ramblings, depending on how many glasses of wine she's had, of the one and only Kimberly J. Bodie as she interviews notable clients, upstanding community members, and random passerby. Nominations and awards pending.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of Happy Hour Hustle. Lately, we've been profiling a lot of pretty badass women in the community. That's totally on purpose. It's not because we don't like men. Well, maybe a little. No. Anyway, this week we're talking to Danielle DeWitt, and our topic is stewardship and gratitude. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Stewardship and gratitude.
Perfect.
Danielle is in donor relations at Spectrum Health, which I think is a really interesting field that not a lot of people truly understand. So we'll talk a little bit about what your job entails. What do you write thank you notes all day? Are you just always so nice? All of those types of things. So the first question we always have to start with is, what is your favorite drink? It doesn't have to be a cocktail, although we encourage that answer.
I would say Riesling.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Riesling. I like it. We already know what mine is, so no need to remind. Okay, so my first question for you is, why are you so nice?
Why am I so nice?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world needs more nice.
Oh God, such a PC answer.
There's too many mean people in the world.
Well, that is very true. Why did you choose donor relations? And also, please tell people what that is, because okay. I'm not sure I entirely understand.
Well, it's kind of funny you asked that, because I was actually talking about that this morning, how it is actually more of a profession that chooses you.
Interesting.
So I sort of just accidentally fell into it. I didn't even know it existed until probably 8 years ago. I was working at Grand Valley, just doing student work, filing, and all of a sudden somebody said, well, how do you feel about, you know, working on campaigns and, you know, helping with donor recognition? So I got into doing that, not realizing that that was stewardship, and then they created a job for that. And what it is basically making sure that all of our donors feel that they understand where their dollars are going, and making sure that they're feeling thanked and appreciated, but also that we're actually using the dollars the way they intended.
Interesting. What are some of the projects that you worked on at Grand Valley?
A lot of donor walls. Mm-hmm. We built a lot of buildings while I was there. I think I did 13 donor walls in Jeez. My time there. But also creating a lot of processes for thank you letters and donor recognition, setting up some processes, and just kind of getting it off the ground before I moved to Spectrum.
What kind of donations came in? Like, dollar-wise, you obviously don't have to name names or anything.
I mean, anywhere from $1 to $5 million.
Wow, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
I bet the $5 million guy probably gets a little bit more love than the $1 guy.
Well, it's different,
Okay. So you just basically, my next question was going to be, what is stewardship? You basically just define what that is. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add to that, or...
I think it's just, I mean, it is something that's newer in philanthropy. There's not a lot of people that have the specific position for it right now, but it is growing, and it's obviously a need to be thankful. You know, there's a lot of wonderful, generous people in this community, and it's important that we let them know that they are appreciated and, you know, continue to support us.
What would you say is key in this career? So if anybody's looking to come into it or you know, because it's not like you can go get a degree in donor relations unless you can, and I just don't know.
No, my degree is in healthcare administration and business. So I would say you have to have some writing skills.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of writing in my job. I write a lot of reports to donors at Spectrum Health. We have over 100 endowments, but we report to the donors and let them know how we use their money over the past year. And then we also report on probably 30 programs.
What kind of programs?
So anywhere from, in the Children's Hospital, we have our mm-hmm. pediatric oncology resource team. That's just a parental support, family support for kids with cancer. We have music therapy. We have expressive arts therapy. Canine unit.
Let's talk about that. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. I mean, no, really, though.
Have you ever seen our canine dogs?
No. What kind of breed?
German Shepherds.
Oh, my goodness.
I think there's a couple of black
ones. Isn't that funny how people are scared of German Shepherds, yet they're used in, like, you know, a program like this?
Yeah.
Because they're so smart.
So they're used, they're actually dual purpose. They're both security and therapy dogs.
That is amazing.
So they're used throughout the entire hospital for both.
Do you know one of them by name?
I know Rex and Kane and Vix. And there's a couple others I can't think of.
Those are pretty great names.
But they come up to our office once in a while and visit.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk gratitude.
Okay.
You are probably the most grateful person I know and the most thoughtful and empathetic. You make a lot of people look real bad, so thank you. But let's talk a little bit about gratitude. How would you define gratitude?
You know, I think when you receive a gift of any kind, it doesn't have to be a tangible item, but, you know, somebody gives you the gift of their time.
Yep.
You know, I'm really conscious about, you know, when I meet with people in the hospital who have very busy schedules, I make sure I just write either a thank you email, but I usually like the handwritten thank you notes. You know, I like to send little thank you notes to my nieces and nephews just for, you know, making my day extra special by doing something. It's just, it doesn't have to be anything really spectacular that you get. You know, I think we have to think about the little things that people do for us.
I think a lot of people take that for granted, though.
Absolutely.
You know, like, we talk a lot about it here, you know, sending handwritten notes. We started Gratitude Tuesday, and we had that going for a while. And that was literally, we stopped everything in the office, and everybody needs to write a note to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And people just take that for granted, you know, that doesn't, it's like almost like a lost art. Like,
it is. I think that with the way of, you know, social media and electronic devices, I think it's just very easy to, you know, just kind of forget about the little things in life. That
did you used to have a pen pal?
I still do.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Tell me.
I have a pen pal who was my, exchange student from Australia, and she now lives in California. So we actually have been communicating through mail.
So did she live with you guys then?
Just for, it was a short stay. It was like a couple weeks when I was in high school.
Also not long enough to learn her accent or to take on her accent.
No, but I did go to Australia for a couple weeks and tried to pick up the accent.
Did you?
Yeah.
Or just one of the really hot Australian guys. Either way. Okay, so what did you love about Australia?
It was just the people there were so friendly. I mean, it was everybody there I met. And I'd heard it was, you know, it's beautiful. All the scenery, all the buildings are beautiful. I got to stay with a family that lived on a sheep farm.
How about that?
I know. That was an experience.
Did you do anything with the sheep?
We did shear the sheep a little bit.
Oh, nice.
So I got to try that. It was my first and only experience doing
probably
that.
Not a career you're going to pursue.
No.
Interesting enough. Okay.
But it was, we went to school with them. We, you know, kind of just immersed ourselves in their life for, you know, a couple of weeks. And
how long is that flight?
Oh my gosh, I think we're on the plane for like 26 hours.
Oh my God. Like straight, right? You know?
Well, I think when we were in high school, they wanted to find the cheapest flight. So we flew from Grand Rapids to Detroit.
So you actually flew around the world like four times
Grand
before
Rapids
you got to Australia.
To Detroit, to Los Angeles, to Japan, to Australia.
Nice.
It was so long. And then you get to Australia and it's the morning. So you're supposed to have like the whole day ahead of you.
And you're like completely a zombie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So how many handwritten notes do you send in a week?
Average, I would say 5 to 10.
Really? I would have thought it would have been more like 30. I swear to God.
There are weeks where I do more.
Okay.
It depends on the week. But it averages out probably to 5 to 10 a week.
Nice.
I try to keep track of birthdays and send some birthday cards.
Like,
and
gratitude is almost like a full-time thing.
It can be.
Right?
I mean, it's my full-time job.
And then you just, now it's in every other. I mean, because I can't remember my own birthday half the time. And I always get like a card from you, and I'll probably get a thank you for this podcast and forget to send you one. So
it may already be written.
It probably is. Are you going to like leave it somewhere around here and I have to find it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about overcoming significant challenges. You've had a couple rough years. Would you say years or year?
I had a year and a half of really interesting life experiences.
Yeah. So what do you know, I don't want to get into the details, but it was pretty shitty. Mm-hmm. And what is your advice for overcoming adversity, whether it's personal or professional?
I learned pretty quickly in, recovering from a concussion. I'll just go a little bit into detail, but concussion, and that was compounded on top of a post-surgical infection within about 3 months, and was diagnosed with PTSD. So I did some counseling, but I found that I really needed to focus on self-care and the importance of that. I hadn't even heard that expression.
Right.
Until I went to...
I thought for the longest time it was made up.
Right. Mm-hmm. I went to yoga therapy, which I, at first, I will admit, I thought was completely weird. And I was like, I don't do yoga. And then I met Rachel, and she taught me all about self-care, and just the importance of really making that time for yourself, because that's really the only way you're going to overcome that, all of that crappy stuff that happens to you. You just have to, really take care of yourself and protect yourself.
Which is interesting, because you take care of everybody else, but yet you don't spend that time taking care of yourself.
I do. I can preach it, but it is
you
hard.
Give a lot, but you don't keep a lot for yourself.
I've learned in the past, probably the past year, I've had a really good mentor that's helped me learn that I need to really find time with things that make me happy and not doing everything for everybody else.
And what does make you happy besides sending notes and gratitude?
I love to read.
I was going to ask you that. What are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a book by Rachel Hollis called Girl, Wash Your Face. It's all about the lies we tell ourselves.
Interesting.
And it's all about the lies she told herself that, they're all the same for everybody and how she overcame them.
Interesting.
And then I'm also beginning to read Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek.
That's the second time I've heard that. I think we heard that in another podcast we recorded. And that's so interesting. Now I'm going to have to get that book.
I haven't started it yet, but I read his other book, Start With Why.
Okay.
And that was really good. So I have my boss Tara, I'll give her a little shout out. Her and I meet once a month for a mentoring exercise.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
We've been reading some books together. So just helpful to kind of, figure out what I want to do the rest of my life and plan for my career.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
That's a tough question. Probably just slow down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really slow down and, enjoy life and, it's not a race.
No.
You really have to, enjoy what's around you. And I think that's, part of the gratitude thing. Really just taking note of all the things that you've been given and all the gifts you've been given, whether it's, something that somebody hands to you or a gift, a talent that you have, or, just people in your life. I think that's, for me, that's one of the most important things is all the people in my life.
Yeah, and you have a lot of people that always are rooting for you, and I feel like you know everyone. How did we meet? Do you remember how we met?
I will say it's through Adrienne Wallace.
Ah, yes. Good. Yes. We'll give her a shout out. Maybe she'll actually listen to one of these one day. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, Adrienne.
This is a test. Who is this? No. So I remember, I think I was working I wasn't at Grand Valley. Or
I think
it was.
You had left Grand Valley before I got there.
Okay.
Or before I started, my grown-up job there.
Yeah.
And, but I think that we would have met eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that goes to the point, you're talking about network and surrounding yourself with people. Grand Rapids is a larger city, but our professional community sometimes can feel very small. You should always be supporting other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes to stewardship and gratitude, and women supporting other women. And I think, you do a phenomenal job with that. I see you doing that all the time over social, in person, but I think that some women feel threatened by other women. Have you ever had an experience like that? Or what would you say to somebody who's up against an experience like that?
I've seen some pretty competitive women in past jobs. It's very easy to, you want to climb to the top, and some people will just do anything,
right,
to get there. And if you're in that situation, which I've been in, it's, I think you just have to be yourself and, be an advocate for yourself. Find an advocate that will be an advocate for you. I think find your cheerleader and find your mentor. I think I've been very fortunate with the mentors I've had that have connected me and I think led me to where I am today.
What's your most favorite thing about your job?
It's a tie between the team I work with, probably the most collaborative group of women.
That's awesome.
Of 9 women on our major gifts team. And our donors. I've met some amazing people.
I love that
community.
That train's in the background. Yeah. I hope that gets into the podcast. Danielle. So anyway, you've met amazing. We do have a very giving community.
I mean,
having worked at Grand Valley myself, and obviously you've got all the names on the buildings, and then just look at around the city. I mean, we are very, very blessed here, I feel. And I think that a lot of people take it for granted and don't necessarily see it as a gift that it is.
Right. I mean, you hear a lot of people who are very cynical about the names that are on buildings. And, you know, we get a lot of the same names on buildings, but those people are the ones that are, you know, leading the charge and, you know, have really led the change that the city needed. And, you know, they could be on the building. If you give millions of dollars and, you know, you support the cause, then your name will go on something too.
I want my name on a building. I'm going to work towards that.
But that's interesting.
I'll probably start with a brick.
Oh, bricks. Yeah. No. But that's interesting because I think that it's changing a lot now, and we talk about that a lot in donor relations, how, you know, giving isn't all about putting your name on anything anymore.
Yep.
It's really about, you know, you want to see where your dollars are going. You want to feel engaged with the organization. I think we have this new era of donors, this next generation who aren't necessarily concerned with, you know, being flashy and, you know, being known. A lot of them will be anonymous.
Right.
And we have a lot of families in this town who give a great deal and nobody really knows their name.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Any other piece of advice or that you want to leave our listeners with? I think we have like 30 now. Hi, everyone.
I'm going to say it again, self-care.
Yeah.
I think that is really what has gotten me through the last few years and helped me find a job that I love and don't really believe in myself.
Well, I want to challenge. Anyone who's listening, to take the time to write those notes. I get them. I keep them. I love them. There's nothing like, you know, receiving something like that and knowing someone took time to actually think of you, write to you, congratulate you, thank you, whatever. And it really is truly meaningful. And you know, and I feel great after writing one. Like there's like the sense of like, you know, accomplishment when I drop it in the mail.
Yeah, you put a stamp on something, you put it in the mail to somebody.
Right.
And you get, you know, you get mail at home.
Right.
It feels awesome. Mm-hmm. It's not a bill.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we have some really cool stores here that sell a lot of great cards. I mean, I think I keep
like
them
Rebel.
In business.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a half a dozen paper sets, you know, Mason Jones Papers Plus. There's Paper Studio on Monroe.
I feel like our follow-up Rebel is going to have to be an entire list of where you can get the best thank you notes or just notes.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for being here today, Danielle.
Thanks
you know,
for
like
having
you're
me.
One of my favorite people ever.
Likewise.
So thank you everyone for listening. And until next time, cheers. We can talk.
All right.
He cuts it all out anyway.
Okay.
So
not to say anything.
Like, yeah, let's not wait.
Like the Aussie. I heard that.
Oh my God.
That was actually hilarious.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
After we stopped,
but we were laughing so hard about it. I was so like, hysterical. That's not even a thing. And then I'm pretty sure.
That's not the first time I've heard it, though.
Like, no, an Aussie? Or you could just say it's a picture with someone.
You could.
Or it's just a picture.
You could.
I looked it up afterwards, and it was a thing, so I had to like put it in the description.
How do you spell it?
U-S-I-E-S.
Aussies?
So it looks like
Usies.
Yeah, I would. I don't know why, but I wanted there to be two S's in the middle.
Yeah.
U-S-S.
Indianapolis. We know Aussies is a real thing.
Aussies? Yeah.